I want to thank you. Is that good? If I'm too loud, just let me know. But I want to thank you all for having us. And I really appreciate being here. And I hope by the end of the night, you're glad you invited us. But let me start by introducing everyone. Myself, I'm Debbie. This is Pam, Denise, Dave, and where did Craig go? Craig. And last but not least, my husband, Matt. And we are the Lost Dog Search and Rescue Team. We're all animal lovers here, right? This is what this is. Does everyone here own a pet? Yes. How many dog owners? All right. Cats? And what other types? Birds? Guinea pigs? Great. I love animal people. I've been an animal lover since I was a toddler. I've had animals, every different kind. I used to play with pigs and cows on my grandfather's farm. That's why my profession, I'm a pet sitter and dog walker. But that's not why I'm here tonight. Tonight I'm here for a passion of mine. And that is, and I think my friends here share my passion, is to bring home lost dogs before harm can come to them. Let me share with you how I started, my husband and I, the Lost Dog Search and Rescue. About 5 years ago, we had put a dog of ours in a doggy daycare. And they left two doors open, and he got out. And he was loose near Route 9 and 37. I was very fortunate at the time. I had, you know, wonderful friends that went out and helped us search for him. We put flyers up, called the police, animal control, you know, we didn't know what to do. And we did everything that we could think to do and still felt it's such a helpless feeling. We were very fortunate, though, 4 days later he was found. It was raining out and he ran into a laundry room and he was found. But we still held on to that helplessness. And my husband would go on Craigslist, and he would see people that had lost their pets and were asking for help, and we would call them, and we would go and we would offer our help free. And we've been doing it now for 5 years at no cost, because I just could not see charging someone at such a terrible time. Now, statistics say a very small percentage, maybe 18% of lost animals are found. I have to thank God because ours are really good. Over the 5 years, we've searched for 150 lost dogs, and out of that 150, 8 were never found, 8 either drowned, died in house fires, or were hit by cars. But 16 out of 150. You know, I wish we could have saved them all. But every single dog that we search for, my main thing is to get them before they're hit by a car. So tonight, I hope we can share some tips on preventative measures to take where your dogs won't go missing and what you can do should they go missing. So, Craig, do you want to say anything?
Absolutely.
I like to talk.
Hi, my name's Craig. I just jumped on the Lost Dog Search Team recently. I'm actually an animal control officer and an animal cruelty investigator down in Stafford. And, you know, my passion also is to, you know, make sure animals get back home without causing harm. And unfortunately, you know, in my job, I see the good and bad of that. You know, I can't tell you how great and how loving and caring it is when I can bring a dog back to an owner, especially when they say, you know, my little child was crying all night because they haven't been able to find their dog, Jumpy wasn't able to sleep in the bed with little Charlie, and he didn't sleep all night. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, unfortunately, there's sometimes when I got to bring the dog back that was hit by a car, and I have to present it to people, you know. And unfortunately, that side of the job for me is miserable, you know. And I just can't stress to people. And unfortunately, you really can't talk to people when unfortunately their dog has died about what they can do to prevent it from happening again. But you know, I can just tell you from being in the profession. You know, like some people believe that just because your dog hasn't run away the 15th time you let him out the back door, doesn't mean there's not going to be something that's going to make him take off. You know, and I see a lot. And people will still tell me when I bring their dog back, oh, they never did it. They've never done that before. And I drive past that house in a couple of weeks, and that dog's outside again. You know, so, you know, if you share the passion of animals, and I see you all do, you know, because everybody's face lit up when you talk about having your guinea pigs or your dogs or your cats. You know, there is nothing worse than getting a phone call when you're looking for your dog that is dead. You know, and it really hits home. You know, I've been around, you know, with these guys, you know, knock on wood, thank God, I haven't been through the bad end of every dog that I've been on with them, we have found pretty much.
Yes.
And that's awesome. You know, we did come across a house fire in Tom River, where unfortunately the owner was only able to save two dogs and a goat. The other dogs he kept them inside a bathroom because he didn't want them to run free. And by the time he was able to get back, unfortunately the house was engulfed. You know, so these are the stories that just break your heart, but it also gives you a passion to fight more. You know, like Debbie says, when the dog goes missing. Majority of dogs that go missing, if you don't find them within the first 24 to 48 hours, the chances of finding them are slim. And if you do find them, they either have been hit by a car and they're still walking and gimping, they hurt themselves, or they froze to death. You know, and the winter we had this winter, dogs, you know, they get outside, especially little pocket dogs. You know, a lot of people have small pocket dogs that, you know, I have three dogs. I have two pit bulls and a Rottweiler that. They can withdraw the cold for a little while, God forbid they were to escape, but you know, there's so many things. There's microchipping your animal. You know, a lot of people don't microchip their animals, or a lot of people don't fix their animals. You know, they don't go through the trouble of, you know, get the dog fixed. 90% of dogs, if you get them fixed, a lot of times they don't run. You know, when they're not fixed, they like to run because they want to explore, they smell things, they get excited. You know, and the thing about when you microchip an animal, a lot of people go through the process of microchipping the animal, but don't register the microchip. So I can't tell you how many times in my business that I'll find a dog and I'll scan it. I'll be so excited. I'll call the number and they'll say, well, it's not registered to anybody. Or it's registered to some rescue in North Carolina, because that's where the dog came from. And, you know, and it's just so hard. So, you know, my thing is, if we all can get the word out to people about not letting your dog out the back door because you just woke up and you got your pajamas on and you don't want to put the leash to them, you know, it's just important. If you really, you know, if you truly love your animal, you know, and this is the way I look at it, you know, you'll go the extra step of making sure that your leads that come out the back door aren't rusty, they're not broken, the hasps on them are correct, you know, or if you have fences, I don't see too many fences or gated yards here, you know, we just have to do what we can, go the extra step, and just make sure that, you know, our dogs have to secure it. Because cats want to, you know, leave that door open a little bit, you know, have the dogs run their way. So, you know, I just want to take from my professional side of it, it's horrible when I have to go. People that their dog has died, and I find it irresponsible, you know, that they do that, and I almost get mad at them because I had to do that, you know, like I don't want to have to do that to your animal, you know, and like I said, I bring home dead animals, and animal cruelty is big, you know, I'm sure there's not too much of it here, but you know, where I come from, worldwide. You know, there's people who leave their dogs outside in 100-degree weather, no water, no shelter. Same thing with the cold. They leave them outside in the cold. You know, so I think as a whole, pet lovers in general, responsibility. If we see this stuff, we need to report it. You know, a lot of people don't like to report stuff because they feel that the neighbor's going to find out if they call. You know, and that's not how it works. You know, if you find your neighbor is abusing an animal, just make the phone call. You can say your name is Greta Garbo, whatever you want to spoil yourself. You know, you can say whatever you want, but I think the responsibility of pet owners just to make that phone call. It's so important. You know, and then there's some people who unfortunately go to the extreme. You know, they'll see an animal that apparently looks like it might be sick or ill, and they're calling animal control 15 times because they want this person to go to jail. You know, and you know, I just like to say, it's fine in my profession. If everybody's responsible enough and everybody takes part in the safety of animals, you know, I think you know, our job gets a little bit easier, so we don't have to look for those stray animals. But I can tell you, you know, the people here, there's such a passion. You know, Matt and Debbie, they call me, and I'm out the door within 30 seconds when I hear an animal missing. You know, I've been on calls with them at 11 at night, 7 in the morning. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, we want to bring your animal back to you. So, you
know, we are very passionate about it because I know Dave himself, we called him once for a dog that was missing. And Dave was in such a rush to get out there and find that dog, he left dinner on the stove. But we all, you know, our love of pets, I treat every pet as if that's my dog out there. And I want to get them no matter what. And we've been out there, like I said, 11 o'clock at night, any time of day or night we would go and we search for them. Has anyone here ever lost a dog? Ever have them go? You have? When your pet went missing, was it a dog?
Yes.
Did you find them?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
3 days later.
3 days later. What did you do? You know, what did you go about? What steps to find them?
Posters, an ad in the paper.
Great.
Something on the radio.
Great. You didn't know about us, so now you can call, but hopefully you won't have to. Those are calls that we don't want to get, really. But we are here if you need us. But I'd like to go through now. The chipping is good. I believe you should have your dogs chipped. But chipping doesn't guarantee you get them back. It's sad to say there have been many cases. Some of those 8 dogs that never were found were taken. They were stolen and kept. And that, I can't believe, you know, I have to say there's a couple of dogs we searched for that... there were 2 chihuahuas, 2 separate occasions, and I have chihuahuas, so the chihuahuas, that was my chihuahua, and we found out where they were, and I knocked on the door, and they made the mistake of answering the door with the chihuahua, and I snatched the chihuahua right out of their hands. I said, that's not your dog. But and another time, I knocked on the door, and the dog was running around, and I walked right in the house, and I said, that's not your dog, and I took the dog. So I'm very passionate about it, to the point of I don't think about my own safety sometimes. But some of the, you know, that's great what you did. Some other things I can suggest is you call the police, you call the shelters, you call animal control.
We did all of that.
Yeah. Put up flyers, put a sign, a big sign in front of your house saying, I lost my dog, with a number to contact. The great thing now that we didn't have when we lost our dog, Romeo, was social media, the internet. Now, we have a Facebook page. We have actually 3. I lost my dog, lost dogs in Ocean County, and what's the other one?
Lost dogs in New Jersey.
Lost dogs in New Jersey. And we have a total of over 2,000 followers, including animal control that looks daily at our page to see what dogs are missing and where they're missing from. And I can't tell you how helpful that is, because you got over 2,000 people looking, that then they share it, and there's more people, and it snowballs, and I can't tell you how that has helped to find so many dogs that we've searched for. So that's a great thing, a tool that we have now that has helped us. But getting back to the microchipping is good, but not all places, like if someone takes your dog or finds your dog and they decide to keep it, They're not going to, you know, if they take it to the vet, they're not going to scan the dog because they have no reason to scan the dog. The chipping is good, though, should the dog go missing and fall into the hands of someone like Craig that will scan them. And it's also good, a case we had that someone had a dog. This was a real gutsy person. They found someone's dog in their neighborhood, decided to keep it, and had the nerve to walk the dog in the neighborhood, and when they were confronted by the owners, wouldn't give them the dog back. So see, a microchip will help you, you know, say, that's my dog and I can prove it. Myself, I would have snatched him and say, you're not walking away with my dog. But some people, you know, not everybody's as bold or gutsy or whatever you want to call it as I am. But, yes. Mm-hmm.
However, we are not allowed by the laws of the association to put a picture or a poster up of your missing pet. Like, try to fight the fight with the powers here.
We've had that problem in some adult communities. You know what I wanted to... Oh, that's great. That's great. I wanted to ask you, do you guys have a auto call?
No.
Oh, that would be a great service, too, to call. Yes, there's Fido Finder. Yeah.
The other thing I was saying, you can do in this particular community, again, because Sue and I looked towards that, we were both report your pet missing, because many people, if they see a little dog running around, they will call the guard gate and say there's a little white
dog
running
around. Now, will the guard gate let you put a poster up?
No, but they know that your dog is missing. In other words, we have two guard gates, and they'll make a note of it, and then if somebody sees, and that's happened, a little white dog running around in the woods, and somebody is called about a little white dog missing,
right,
they will hook them up.
That's good. That's great.
So in this particular community, call the guards and let them know your animal is missing.
Yes.
Since you're the president of the club, are you guys
able to...
Oh, well, you should be. Are you able to do a pet register in here?
They have a pet register. When you move in, they ask for that information on the form. However, it's a cumbersome job to keep it up to date.
Okay.
Should your pet pass, get a new pet, you know, you have to kind of remember to go take that pet off, put a new pet on.
Okay. Yes, you have to work out perfect, even if you guys should have your own. But if you be a way where you guys can have your own tag, you know, leave your village west tag to put on your animal for the address, this way the dog wasn't found. At least in the wall here, you know exactly where they go back. So that might be something wrong with you. Make your own leave your village west tag.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe someone knows the answer. Could you put a picture on the creeper?
No. No.
Who's the head of all this? They got to be an animal lover. You got to get them a dog where they'll understand the importance.
If it is during the week, he will try to put it on the creeper. But a picture, no.
Does the pet want
anybody who has pictures, I would broadcast it out to everyone and say, this is urgent, this dog is missing. Or found, we found the dog, here's what it looked like. That was it.
Okay, and then the thing with the tag, even, you know, just in general, you know, if you
right.
keep a collar on your dog
right.
with a tag, as long as, you know, the bad man doesn't pick them up, this will take that off. If you get legitimate people who find your animal, it comes right back to you. It doesn't even go to animal control,
right.
it doesn't go to the police, it comes right back to your house.
Okay.
As long as you have your name address.
You'll get them back a lot faster with name tag with ID.
Okay. Stop right.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say about the collar and the tag. A couple of years ago, my husband was home. It was in the evening, and I had gone on a bus trip, I don't know, somewhere. But it was pouring rain. I got out of the car. Someone would give me a lift home. And I saw this yellow lab walking in the rain with a collar on. And I was, like, stunned, you know? So I called the dog, came right, remember that door? Door came right over to me. Fortunately, it had a collar with a tag. So we brought the dog in the garage. We called the owner, and the owner came right over and got it.
Yeah.
But when she picked her dog up, she said, she gets out all the time.
Oh, you don't know how many times we go to a house, they call us, their dog went missing, and I say, first thing I say is, have they ever gotten out before? Gets out 100 times, but somebody always brings them back. You know, what is the matter with you? You're lucky 100 times a dog didn't get hit by a car.
Shocked me that someone would just take such a...
Oh, you don't know how many people. And I want to let you all know, too, not only do we go out and look for lost dogs, but because of us doing this, we have found dogs that have been dumped or abandoned or thrown away, and we take them. And we get them medical attention, and we keep them until we find them wonderful homes. And I have to say, Phyllis is one of our adoptees. And she loves Sassy, right? Pam also... Oh, wait, where's Pam? There's Pam. Pam also rescued a little chihuahua that was going to be put down. The people adopted him from the Popcorn Zoo, had him a year, decided they didn't want him anymore, but they knew that they wouldn't take him back unless there was a problem, so they were going to tell him that he bites. And I called them up and I said, you know, do you put them down? And they said, well, only if they have issues like biting or something. Well, he would have been put down, so I stopped her right in the parking lot and I said, bring the dog to me. And Pam fostered him and fell in love. So, I mean, yes.
How would you find it if you have to bring him to the vet?
Adam, well, thank God my pet sitting business does very well. But, now it's growing so that I have people bringing me dogs all the time for some reason or another, or we're finding them. I have right now 7 dogs, and the last 2 were surrendered to me, and I've failed because I'm keeping them. But right now we actually are in the process of getting our 501c3, which is nonprofit, because I really want to get a bigger piece of property where we can save more. Because not only do we save them, but we rehabilitate them, too. If there's any issues or problems or aggression, we rehabilitate them. That they're good dogs when you get them.
So right now, everything comes out of our pocket.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So.
Can I?
Yes.
Do cats run away?
Oh, cats run away, but cats will come back. Yeah, and they're harder to find than dogs.
The only problem with cats, and I can tell you from where I work, is for some reason cats don't go unnoticed. Because the majority of people down where I work, they have indoor outdoor cats. You know, and I know a lot of people who, when their indoor cat gets outside, they'll wait sometimes weeks, sometimes months. But the hard part about when a cat goes missing is you can't just go and kiss it and.
Yeah.
Retreat.
Yeah.
Majority of the time you gotta travel. You know, and unfortunately with trapped cats, sometimes you get feral cats in that trap, you'll get You know, so to specifically get a lost cat, it's so much harder to get it back than it is a dog, that's for sure.
I mean, I have an indoor, but he wouldn't go out. I mean, I had to throw him out the door, and he would probably cry to come back in. But when we lived before, I've always had cats, and always indoors. But I had one of my cats, no matter, because she has a wonderful home, I used to have to walk out the door backwards, yeah, because she would scoot out. I don't know how many times I'd be out in the backyard, in the dark, calling her name, climbing over fences, and my husband would say, oh, don't worry, she'll be back in the morning. I couldn't go to bed until I knew she was back in the house. And I would get her. But that none of a kind would do it again, whenever she got the chance.
Now, does the bylaws here allow you to put the perimeter dogs fenced around your specific property?
No.
You can't do that, right? But that's something else to look into if you were allowed to do that. The cats aren't allowed up.
No.
I have a question about the chipping. Yep. I've always had my dogs chip.
Yep.
But it occurs to me that it's the vet who chipped them that registers chip.
No.
The chip is initially registered to the vet.
Right.
But he should have had
you. No, he put my name on it, but I've moved.
You have to
get in touch with the chip company.
Wherever the chip company is, you should have the paperwork.
Yeah.
If not, you can bring it to a local vet or someone to scan it, and you can find out which company has it. And all you have to do is keep calling that company to update that.
I've updated it with one of my
Yeah, that's very important. If you don't update that, it'll keep going back to the old address.
I just sent you a friend request, please.
Oh, okay.
Facebook,
sure. Absolutely. We like friends. Anybody have any questions?
Debbie, why don't you tell them the area that you search in?
What? We handle Manchester, Toms River, Lacey, Forkett River, Beechwood, Bayville. But you know what, we can only do, I'm sorry? Well, I have to stay because of the pet sitting business. I have to stay within like a 10-mile radius, but sometimes, we've gotten calls from out of state, I couldn't do it. But, you know, if I'm able to, we have gone up to, Red Bank?
Red Bank House.
You know, I do it because of my passion, and if they get me on the phone and I say, oh, well, we're not busy, and maybe, you know, and he's like, that's Red Bank, we can't go, and I'm like, yeah, but, oh, my goodness, it's, you know, oh, this poor dog, and, you know, and I have to say, I'm not a holy roller, but I have a very strong faith in God, and I have to tell you, when I started listening to him, he guided me to the dog.
Yeah.
He guided me because, I mean, Pam's a witness. There was huskies. Someone just let the people's huskies out of the backyard. Spiteful, I don't know. But we searched. They found two of them, and this one that we searched for, and we covered everywhere. And one day we were getting ready to, you know, leave, and I said, God, please, let me know where this dog is. And I said to Pam, you know what, I'm just going to go down this road. I'm going to make a left. I'm just going to go down here. No sooner did I make that turn, there's a dog. You remember that?
Yep.
So, I mean, many a times, we just recently found a little chihuahua that had been, I guess the owners got evicted, the story was, and they just let the dog out. This little chihuahua had been out in the woods behind home for, what, since September?
6 months.
She went through this snow. We got her back, about a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
We set a trap, and she, you know what she was doing? She was, the neighbors were feeding her, but no one bothered to call. And she was living, I followed her footprints because the snow, it helps you track them a lot easier. And I followed her footprints and she was in a little divot in a tree. That's where she was. And we set a trap and the next day we caught her. And now she's living in a wonderful home, being loved. She had to have her teeth removed and she had some fatty tumors that had to be removed. But she's safe, she's warm, she's not hungry anymore. So, I mean, I have to say, money cannot buy the feeling when you find them. Because, you know, that's what drives me. Because just saving a life is so rewarding. So, yes.
I have a pit bull, and sometimes I'm afraid that she does get out because the prejudice is that she might be hurt or...
I know exactly what you mean, because our Romeo was a pit bull. And when he went missing, that's something I wanted to mention too. When he went missing, he was over by the, I think it's the Hillside Cemetery over there, and there's apartments over there, and I was scared to death they're going to get him to fight. And he is very passive. He's not, he's a lover, he wasn't a fighter. So I was afraid that they would use him as a bait dog. So that's why right away I posted a $500 reward. Because as hard as it is to believe, not everyone's an animal lover. So, but they all love money. So that's why I say post a reward right away. This way, let's say if somebody, oh, I got a free dog, because the guy that I said had someone's dog and was walking in the neighborhood with it, he said, oh, yeah, this dog was worth about a $1,500 dog, and I got it for nothing. So, I mean, people think that way. There are people like there out there like that. So it's good to, before they get any kind of feelings for the dog, put a reward out there, get them where, you know, the money. That's good. No, but unfortunately, there aren't nice. Let me tell you, since I've been dealing with animals and humans, I love my dogs a lot more every day. The more humans I see out there.
You brought up pit bulls. It's very important. You know, like I've been a pit bull owner for 15, 20 years now. And what I try to tell people is if we stop using the word pit bull and start using the word Staffordshire Terrier, stuff like that, the prejudices that you talk about will go away. The problem is everybody uses the term pit bull, and once people hear that, their ears go up, their guard goes up, they're afraid. But if you would bring that same dog here and say it was a Staffordshire Terrier, people wouldn't even turn their head. So, you know, I just know for the breed itself that it's extremely important that we don't make the prejudice any worse. And a lot of times when we say pit bull, we say it with that authority and it's stern and it sounds scary. But when people say what kind of dogs do you have for me, I tell them I have Staffordshire Terriers, they don't even blink an eye. So, you know, it's very important we do have the breed. It does help you out. One thing I did want to say, there is a book out. I'm going to tell you the name if you want to write it down. It's called The Dog Bible. And it's written by Tracy Hochner. If you guys want a book to read, you want to know about your dogs, get this book. You can get it on Amazon. This book tells you everything from A to B about dogs. It's called The Dog Bible. It's Tracy, T-R-A-C-I-D. And the last name is Hochner, H-O-T-C-H-N-E-R. If you want to know about your dogs, you know, what I've done, I've read your book about 3 times. And when my dog looks at me now, I know exactly what he's thinking. I know what he wants to do. And it's only because that book has taught me a lot about animals. So, but the simple thing is that Staffordshire Terrier is now on. Use that word.
Also, one other thing you can do is what we did with Romeo is I call the police right away because of the bad reps the pit bull has and tell them he's a sweet dog. Please, if you find him, do not shoot him. Please tell where your officer is.
You know,
that was the first thing I did.
Something I want, and this is Romeo right here. This was our Romeo. Unfortunately, he passed away last year. But one thing in defense of the pit bulls, and I think all of you remember, do you remember our gang? Okay, that Petey was a pit bull. And years ago, the pit bull was a nanny dog. And you really have to think, it's not the dog, it's the people that did that to the dog. Because what breed would put itself at harm's way to to please its master. These are very lovable dogs, and it's unfortunate that the terrible human beings did that to the breed, because it's not the dog. There's no such thing as a bad dog. It's bad owners.
Actually, the breed with the most bites nationwide is a Chihuahua.
Yeah, and I got three of those.
And I got the bites to prove it.
Chihuahua has the most bites nationwide of any dog.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's the owner's fault.
Yeah.
Because they're small. And because they're small, they think it's cute when they act like that. So they don't discipline them. Now, I bring mine to the dog park, and when the one that was surrendered to us, you know, he was a terror. But he was terrorized by the family and the children. And we've been rehabilitating him. We've had him maybe a year, and he's come a long way. But I'd take him to the dog park, and I had to get him a T-shirt warning I bite. And because people would go to touch him, and I'd say, don't touch him. And I would have to pin him down, you know. And pinning him down is not a mean thing. I'm disciplining him for going to bite someone. And he has to be disciplined. There's a big difference between discipline and abuse. But you do have to discipline him, or you're going to have a rotten little dog. So.
By the way, Madeline, you're our newest friend on Facebook.
Oh, thank you so much.
Are there any other questions or anything? No? Well, I guess we could let you get on with your meeting then. And we have cards for the pet sitting and also for the lost dog search and rescue. So you can go to our websites if you are on the internet, and you can see, you'll see I walk all seven of ours at once. So.
Yeah, do you sit in your house?
I come to your house. See,